scripture reading for today comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, I believe. Okay. So let's all read these verses together. I think it's short enough, so I'll help lead, but feel free to read this passage and, you know, internalize and think about it before the sermon from Revelation. So Luke chapter 17, verse 11 says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" We give the following time to Reverend Lynn.
Okay. Well, I don't know about you, but this morning when I woke up, I mean, it was all whitey now. I live in the southwest area, close to Interstate 80. I mean, I remember on the weather forecast last night, there wasn't any mention of snow, but this morning was, it wasn't bad, but I was a surprise. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, I love the weather in the seasons in Chicago because it's just so distinct, you know. I mean, in spring, we have all those beautiful flowers. And then in the summer, it's so warm, but it's sunny. And then in the fall, then you have all the leaves coming down. And then getting into this winter season, especially, I mean, it's all Thanksgiving is coming, and then Christmas, and then New Year. It's so festival. I mean, it's so exciting, you know, so all these things. And of course, Thanksgiving is coming up on Thursday. When my wife and I first immigrated to Chicago, that's about 20-something years ago. That's the second time that we came to the States. The first time we were students, so we didn't involve too much. But then the second time, this time, so we settled down, and then we get to know people more and get to know even Chinese people more. And then we were surprised to hear that, and maybe you know that too, people here, a lot of Chinese people here call Thanksgiving the Turkey Festival. You know? That was the first time, because in Hong Kong, we didn't have turkey, right? I mean, we have turkey sandwiches, but not really turkey as a bird, as a big thing. But here it's called Turkey Festival. And it's important because, you know, we are going to eat about 45 million turkey around this time. 45 million. That's a lot. I mean, we have 300 million people in the United States. So, yeah, that's about it. So, it's about one for every 8 people. So, we eat a lot. So, turkey is important. I mean, and just make sure that. Yeah. Mm. It's in the center of our dinner table, coming Thursday, or even I know that you're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner on Saturday in church. Turkey is going to be a central thing. But as Christians, we all know that it's more than just turkey, right? It's a time for us to give thanks, to remember what God has done for us. And passage that we read just now talks about very indirectly about Thanksgiving. Maybe it's a counter example of Thanksgiving. Maybe we should go into a little bit of the background of that passage. The passage we read just now was about Jesus healing 10 lepers, right? And in Jesus' time, leprosy was really a bad thing. It's almost like HIV or what we call AIDS today. Two bad points about it. First thing is that it cannot be cured, it can be passed on to others. So for the lepers in Jesus' time, they have to stay outside of the city. They have to stay far away from people because they may pass the disease to other people, and there's no cure for that. So they have to stay outside, and then most of them cannot get work because you have to stay outside the city, so you have to be begging most of the time. And when they try to beg, when people come along, they have to cry out, "Lepers, lepers," so that people know that they are, these beggars are lepers, and they probably have to throw the money away, throw it at, and not hand it over to them, because it's contagious. So it's not just a physical thing. It's not just that they are lepers and they don't have any cure and they are going to have a bad life, but also psychologically, they are very depressed because they are outcasts. They can't stay with people. They can't talk with people. They have to be away from people. They are isolated. So it's a very bad problem to have in those days. And of course, in the passage, it talks about there were 10 lepers in this town, and Jesus came along, and 10 of them came to Jesus and cried out for Jesus to have pity on them. And Jesus sent them to the priest, and they were all healed. That's a good ending, right? Jesus healed everybody. But the Bible also adds to it something that maybe we don't like. It talks about one person coming back to thank Jesus. One person. Only one of the lepers came back to thank Jesus. And he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus said, "Are all 10 of you been healed? Why there's only one coming back? Where are the others?" And this one is actually a foreigner. This one is not a Jew. This one is supposed to be a person that don't know about God. He doesn't know about God. And he came back to thank me. I mean, a lot of biblical scholars talk about this, and they were not too sure actually whether the other 9 were Samaritans or whether the other 9 were Jews. But maybe, probably, from what the implication of Jesus' word, probably some of them were Jews. Maybe not all 9 of them were Jews. At least some of them were Jews. And that's why Jesus said, why would it be that this foreigner, this Gentile, this one who doesn't know God, comes back to thank me? Where are the others? Where are the Jews? Where are the people who are supposed to know about God? Well, when we look at this passage, we can always blame the lepers. We can always say, these are ungrateful people. These are people who really don't deserve to be healed, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe we didn't give them a chance to explain themselves. So this morning, let's imagine that we have 10, those 9 other lepers around here. Nowadays, leprosy can be healed, so don't worry. So, we have those 9 lepers around us, probably. Yeah. And then, maybe you and I are TV reporters, and we'll interview them, one by one. And we'll ask them, why didn't you come back? Why didn't you come back to thank Jesus? You have your whole life changed. Why didn't you come back to thank Jesus? So, maybe the first one will say, Jesus was just doing his job. Why do I need to thank him? He's supposed to be a healer. He's supposed to be someone that God sent. Well, maybe he doesn't know God. But he's supposed to be a good physician. He's supposed to heal people. Why do I need to thank him? Because my brought up is Chinese, so there's a lot of Chinese idioms, very traditional Chinese idioms that you may not know, but I'll show you a picture. This is a Chinese idiom talking about a person after crossing a bridge, or just a piece of wood that get him across a bridge, water or something like that. And then he throw that thing away because that's what in Chinese we call this. That means you may not hear the word guo qiu chou ban. It means after you cross a bridge, you take away, after you cross the river, you take away the bridge. You throw it away because it doesn't really, I mean, it's just a piece of wood. I mean, it doesn't care. It means ungrateful. And we talk about a lot of things. We talk about our children who have been ungrateful. We talk about a lot of people being ungrateful. This guy was saying, it's his job. I mean, it's just like when you go to a grocery store, when you check out, do you say thank you to the cashier? Probably he should thank you, right? We pay him, right? We pay his salary. Or when you get off the CTA bus, do you say thank you to the driver? Well, maybe you're very courteous, you say thank you, but in your heart you say, well, you depend on me, because if I don't ride the bus, you won't get a job, right? It's your job to serve me, it's your job to drive me, it's your job to count what I mean, to give me a receipt of what I bought at the grocery store, right? So, and then when you go to the doctor, and then when you leave, well, to doctors probably you're more careful, because he knows a lot, she knows a lot more about you, right? But still, you are thinking in my heart, my insurance is paying you. It's your job, right? It's just your job. It's just doing your job. And we are being ungrateful. We take things for granted. And this is what we are talking about in this country, right? There's a lot of entitlement we are supposed to have. We are supposed to have a lot of things. We are supposed to have everything. And Jesus, you are supposed to heal me. That's your job. That's what you are sent to do. Hopefully, we don't think like that. Because the Bible says, rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't pay Jesus. We could not offer him anything for him to die for us. And the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, while we were opposing to him, not just that we didn't pay him, not just that we didn't offer him anything, but while we were his enemies, while we were cursing him, while we were saying that, well, I mean, religion or Christianity is nothing. I mean, Jesus, while we were thinking that in our hearts, he already died for us. I mean, there's nothing that we can. Actually, we should pay him, I mean, but we could not pay him. We could not. That's why we should be thankful. Well, that's the first guy. The Bible didn't say, I forgot, maybe they were men or women, but with hand up, so well, we just assume that they're all men, okay? So, the first one. Second guy, it may be just coincidence. It may not be Jesus that actually healed me. You know, I have tried many things. I have seen many doctors. I've been to many, many doctors. You know, I have tried herbs. I've tried supplements. I even went to witch doctors. It just happened. Maybe it's about time that I should be healed. So many medicines in my heart, and it should be healed. And then when I get to the priest, it just happened at that moment, I got healed. There's nothing to do with Jesus. It's just coincidence. I just got lucky, you know. It's almost like this guy, yes, I win the lottery. I got healed. No. It has nothing to do with him. Why do I need to thank him? You know, the basic reason that we stay away from God, the basic reason actually that Adam and Eve sinned was because they're so proud. They want to be independent. They want to be God in a way. They think they can do anything. That's what human beings are thinking about. We can do anything. We really don't need God, right? I think the Bible mentioned, for in him we live, we move, and have our being. The ability to find doctors, the ability to find those herbs, the ability to even to find a rich doctor, the ability that we can move around and think about things and try to plan and try to get ourselves out of trouble, all the resources, all our intelligence or whatever, they all come from God. So we live and move and have our being. How can we be proud? How can we say that it's just coincidence? How can we say that we don't need God, right? So we talk about two guys. The third one said, Oh, sorry. I just forgot about it. I was about to thank Jesus. But, you know, Jesus is a nice person. He surely understands that I'm forgetful, you know. And he may be like me. I mean, I'm getting old. I mean, so forgetful. I can be so forgetful, right? But I'm pretty sure that person, maybe it's that old person at the end, right? He'll probably enjoy his Thanksgiving dinner. He'll probably invite his friends and he'll call up everybody. He'll use cell phones, send text messages. Not in those days, but we'll let the whole world know that he's healed because he wants to be getting back to his normal life, right? So he doesn't forget anyone. He'll have all his, check out all his address list and his phone book, everything, and he'll go down one by one and tell them, I am good again. I am healed. But he just forget about Jesus. Just forget the person that got him healed. You know? In the passage, Jesus talked and said to the person, the leper that came to him, and said, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he turned to the leper and said, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Actually, what Jesus was telling us is that because this person, this particular leper, this Samaritan, came back to thank him, he got more than just physical healing. He's been accepted as a child of God. He got more than the other 9 who did not come back to thank Jesus. You know, a lot of times when we think about thanking God, be grateful to God, we are thinking to ourselves that, well, maybe we are doing God a favor. He leads our thanksgiving. He leads us to thank him. Just like human beings, right? When we do some good thing for others, and if other people thank you, you feel good, right? That's our human nature. But God is not like that. God doesn't lead our thanksgiving. He doesn't lead our thanksgiving to feel good. He doesn't lead our thanksgiving to be happy. God loves us, and he will do whatever it takes to help us. Not that he expects something to in return. But if we give thanks to God, just like that particular leper, we got something extra. Just now we sang that hymn, right? Count your blessings. We just sang that song. And remember the chorus? It says, count your blessings. name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. And then count your blessings. It's a repeat of the same verse. When we count our blessings, when we see what God has done, we will be encouraged. We will be encouraged because of what God has done in our past and even at this present moment. And we will be encouraged to walk by faith into the future because of our past experience. Because knowing that God has been so good to us, He will give us encouragement. He will actually, when we give thanks to God, it's not making God happy. Well, God is happy too. But it's going to help us. It's going to be more beneficial to us because we sat down to count the blessings. When I was in the seminary, we were talking about, we have to learn about counseling, right? We have to learn about depression and things like that, how to help people get out of depression. And that was quite a long time ago. In those days, there were not that many studies, but still, there were a lot of helpful suggestions from our seminary professors who told us that actually, you really don't need, when people are depressed, you just have to turn them around. We turn them around and let them look into the past. You ask them to write down, when people are depressed, they are really unreasonable or irrational. But ask them to sit down, and write down, say, all your anniversaries, all your birthdays, write down your family, write down friends, the names of friends, and all this will bring back good memories. They will encourage you because God gave us memory. That's very important because that's going to help us to move into the future, help us to face the present time, but also help us to look into the future with hope. That's very important. And I think Thanksgiving will do that for us. So we talk about how many? We talk about three of them already, right? Three of them. We talked to the fourth leper who didn't come back. And we asked him, why didn't you come back? And he said, well, Jesus healed my leprosy, but he didn't solve all my problems. I still have a lot of problems. My wife has left me. I no longer have a job. How do I know if my leprosy will not come back? You know, I'm not sure, you know. He just healed me right now, you know. So, I still said, well, you healed me, but you didn't solve all my problems. You have to help me everything. You have to do everything. You have to give me a perfect life, right? Mm-hmm. We are never satisfied. We are never content. This is also a Chinese idiom, so you probably may not know what it's about. But interesting picture. Well, let me show you the idiom first. The idiom is a direct translation from the Chinese, right? Human hearts, you and me, are so greedy. It's just like a snake trying to eat an elephant. A snake cannot eat an elephant. Well, I did see internet that a snake can swallow a deer. I mean, a snake can be very elastic. The skins are very elastic, but I don't know about the elephant. But this is a strange-looking snake. He's trying to swallow an elephant because he wants everything. He's never satisfied. He wants more, 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 just like us. Maybe sometimes we think like that too. I mean, how can we be content? There are too many problems that we have. Paul says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need or I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Paul was in prison in those days. And he said, well, I'm in prison. I'm okay. I'm content. Sometimes we worry a lot worry about a lot of things, and we complain a lot about a lot of things. Just like that leper, right? I didn't have a job. But well, in America, you're blessed because you have Social Security. I mean, you have those things to help you out, right? Unemployment benefit. You say, I have cancer. But then there's still medicine to help you, right? And you said, I just have disobedient, or I just don't like my children. I mean, they are no good to me. But you think about that, a lot of people who try many, many times, many, many years, just have one child, and they could not have it. They would be satisfied with any kind of children. So we just have to look at things differently, or maybe try to be content. Let's look at one more. Oh, I'm too busy. Maybe you can thank Jesus for me. I'm just too busy. No, you see, I only have two hands, 2 feet. I have to cook, I have to clean the house, I have to order things on the computer, I have to talk to the teacher, I have to feed the baby, I have to do gym, so many things. Even 24 hours, even if I have 24 hours, I could not have enough time to do everything. So, Jesus, understand, I don't have time. I'm just too busy to thank him. And as Christians, we have more excuses, right? Well, we have church activities. We have to play the piano. We have to sing choir. We have to do Bible studies. We have to we have to pack Christmas presents for the poor. There's so many things as Christians we have to do. We need 30 hours and we could not finish everything. But a very interesting not parable, but what you probably remember this. In Luke chapter 10, talks about Jesus talking to people Mary and Martha's house, right? And then Mary was sitting next to Jesus just to listen what he was talking about. And then Martha, the other sister, was busy. Wow, she was busy. Serving people. Oh dear, she's doing good things. She's serving, she's cooking, she's cleaning, everything. And she complained. She complained to Jesus, why is Mary sitting here? And I'm doing all these things. And then Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from him. I think Jesus is not putting down on the things that Martha is doing. Those are important things too. But he said, life has to have some priorities. You have to prioritize your life according to your faith. You know what is important. You have to know what is important at that moment. You know, when we say we are busy, we are too busy. We are too busy to pray. We are too busy to read the Bible. We are too busy to talk to God. And then what will happen if Jesus said, I'm too busy too. I'm too busy to help you. I'm too busy, I don't have time to listen to your prayer. And what will be our reaction? So we talk about five of the lepers, right? There are nine of them that didn't come back. Well, I mean, I don't want to go on drag on all the time and talk about the other, but you get what I'm getting at, right? Those are just excuses. Those are unacceptable excuses. But you probably say, yeah, Pastor Dean, I know that we have to be thankful. I know that we have to be thankful. But I mean, knowing is not enough. Even in our heart, we want to be thankful. It's not enough. I mean, we need to be actually do work it out. Involve our whole life. We have to not just by our words, thank you, thank you. We have to cast it out. We have to do it. And actually, that's what the Bible says. I mean, Romans 12. Oh, okay, I'll talk Romans 12 first. When I was in Christian media, it's a multi-language, so we have different pastors and different people working together from different countries. And one of the person that's involved in Spanish ministry is on Puerto Rico. And he told me that in Puerto Rico, well, I guess some of you know Spanish because you probably studied some Spanish in school, but in Hong Kong, I didn't speak Spanish. So I'm trying to pronounce it as English, okay? He said, Thanksgiving Day is Dia de Acción de Gracias. Gracias, in God. When translated, in Puerto Rico, they call Thanksgiving Day the Day of Thanksgiving Action. That A-C-C-I-O-S, action. It's called about action. It's not just sing songs, well, I mean, praise God, pray to God. It's not just that. They remind themselves you have to put in the action to do something. It's not just here. It's not just here. It's working on. And that's why I was trying to quote from Romans 12. It's the same idea. Paul was saying that, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Work it out. We have a lot of good things going on, right, in our life. Life in America is pretty good. Right? But then there are other people. There are even people in our neighborhood, just next door, who needs someone to encourage them, who needs someone to help them out with little things. There are a lot of small things that we could do. We don't have to think about grand things. Just now in prayer, I mentioned about sharing the gospel. I mean, our missionaries are important. They are all over the world. But at the same time, we are missionaries in our own neighborhood too. There are a lot of things we can do. Not just saying, God, thank you, but in our action, showing our thankfulness. And that's the life of a committed Christian. Talking about commitment, I want to share with you this funny little cartoon. There was someone talking about the pig talking to the chicken. He said, well, I was thinking we should open a restaurant. And the pig said, I know what would we call it. And the chicken said, well, how about call it ham and eggs? Oh, the pig said, no thanks. He's not thankful. No thanks. I'll be committed. But you are just involved. You are just laying some eggs every day. But I'm going to be cut up as a pig, right? That's what we have to think about. Are we really committed? Or we say, we are just involved. Jesus is just part of my life. I mean, I can do without him at times. Are we really committed to God? So, looking back, a few things. Do we have a thankful heart? I guess we all have. That's the easy step. Especially during this season. But then the second part is, do we remember that thankful heart, that to be thankful each day? It's not just Thursday. It's not just this month. Each day. Throughout the year. Whether there is up or down in our life. We have to do that. And then, of course, the last part was, do we put our thankful heart into action? That's important. Think about things you can do during this month. I don't know about your particular situation in your life, in church, or whatever, but there, I mean, pray for God's wisdom to show you what you can do to show your thankfulness to Him, to really give thanks and praise His name. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father in heaven, we come before you on this beautiful Sunday morning, your day, and we want to give thanks from the bottom of our hearts because you have been so good to us. You have been good to us even before we acknowledge you are our Savior. You are our Savior. And as we look back, after we have committed our life to you, we see your hands guiding our life each day. There are things in our lives that we may want to forget. There are things that we don't want to particularly focus on. But even in those dark times, you were with us. And we know that you will be with us in the days to come, whether it's good or bad in our eyes. And we are just so thankful that you have given us this opportunity to gather together as a church every Sunday or even during weekdays to study your word, to praise your name, and to serve you in our community, in our schools, in our neighborhood, in our village, in our working places. And we just ask that you help us to raise your name, to praise your name, to glorify your name, so that people may come to a saving knowledge of you because of our testimony, because of our behavior, because of our lives. Thank you again for the time that we can have to reflect on your word, and we ask that you help us not to give excuses, but to be truly thankful to you every day. We pray all this in your Son Jesus' precious name.